Hey, AfterBuzzers and Bold Type fans, we are here to talk about Season 3, Episode 3, Stroke of Genius. Is Kat going to run for city council? And Jane is spicing it up in the bedroom. We cannot wait to discuss all that and more just after this.
You're tuned in to AfterBuzz TV, the ESPN of TV talk. Now, let the buzz begin.
Hello, my lovely ladies, and happy Tuesday.
Happy Tuesday.
Guys, we have an amazing special guest joining us, Veronica Valencia!
Hi, everyone. I always just, you know, I just always like to thank the ladies of the Bold Type for thinking of me whenever, you know, I can come onto the show because I love it and I love to talk about it. So thank you.
So happy to have you here. Obviously, we're missing our lovely Nakia, but Veronica is an amazing fill-in. And hopefully, every time we've got a missing panel member, we can just shuffle you in here.
Yes.
It'll be great. Hey, guys, Allie Nasda here, and we are back with the lovely Krista Flungy.
Hey guys, Krista here.
And Carla Beltran.
Hey, what's up guys?
And we're gonna get in right into it. And make sure you stick around because Carla has some amazing news and gossip with a fun little surprise for you, so you won't wanna miss it.
This is true.
She teased it earlier.
I did.
Yeah, we're excited. I wanna know.
We don't even know what the surprise is, so we're excited. Alrighty, let's just kick it off with a spiciness in the bedroom. How did you guys feel about Jane catching Ryan technically watching porn on her laptop? Speechless.
Carla was the definition of speechless there. I mean, that's a typical relationship thing that, not all the time, but a lot of the time will come up. It sucks that it happened to her while she was at work. Yeah. And she kind of had to confront it in front of, like, a bunch of employees.
But her boss.
Yeah.
I think that she handled it very well.
She did.
Yeah, she was just first of all, she was very confused, which was a dead giveaway that it wasn't hers. But also, I think that the way that she went about it to talking to Pinstripe, it was, like, very, like, subtle. You know, it wasn't like, hey, so you've been doing this with my computer. It was very, like, laid back, and I feel like she tackled it the right
way. Yeah.
I appreciated her curiosity of, you know, she obviously knows that this thing is happening, but she's curious as to, you know, how she views their sex life and how, you know, what kind of stuff he's into. And I think that's very interesting and helpful in a relationship conversation. Also, good for her that good for her workmates who see this as kind of a normal thing. They don't make her feel weird or uncomfortable and think that, you know, what he was watching was totally out of left field.
Yeah, no, I agree. I do. I think she did approach it right, because she could have immediately texted him or came up to him and been like, why were you doing that on my computer?
Yeah.
So I think her just kind of making light of it and joking about it the way she did was perfect, because she could have really made him upset or, like, feel uncomfortable, which, yeah. But I did like that, so I think they handled it well.
She wanted to kind of, you know, reach him on his level, figure out how they can come together as a couple and tackle this together. One thing I did have a question for you ladies, though. Did you guys find it a little rude or maybe too much that he's doing this on her work laptop?
Yeah, I think he could have done it on his phone that one time. I think that would have been okay.
Especially because they said it was from 7:55 a.m. to 8:10 a.m. Come on, dude.
That was a weird one. Yeah.
Look on your phone.
Yeah, I don't know. I didn't like that. And also, I don't know what sites he was on, but then obviously he's risking her computer, like, throwing. I'd be more mad about the viruses that were popping up than the fact that he was looking at porn on my computer.
Right. Exactly.
No.
Well, and your work computer.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's your work computer, which is obviously, you can get in trouble for those things. There's different logins you have to use, I don't know.
I also just kind of wanted to piggyback off of what you all were saying. It's like, it's very dangerous that it was her work computer, not just because people can see it, but she is a writer.
Yeah.
That is her lifeline. If she were to get a virus and it were to go down, like, what would she do?
Totally.
She'd be mad.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. I'm surprised they didn't have more of a fallout as to, like, what happened to the computer, but clearly it's clean. It's fine. And this kind of just spices it up for them. They talk about Jane feeling a little too vanilla in the bedroom. So they just suggest doing this fun activity of adult content together.
Spicing it up.
They're trying new things. And I think this is something that is Jane's character is always trying to learn and step out of the box.
Yeah.
And she's constantly challenged to face things that are a little bit out of her norm. Just like we've had things happen with either Jane or Kat, of things she doesn't really 100% agree with. She does do a great job of opening the box and really trying to figure out where that person's coming from.
Yeah.
And I think that kind of has to do with her being a writer, because she kind of always dive deep into what is actually going on there. Alrighty, moving on. But before we do, we just want to thank you guys. You are amazing, and we love you, and Chris is going
to
tell you why.
Yes, guys, before we move on to our next topic, we just wanted to thank you for making us the ESPN of TV Talk. But for us to continue to grow, we could use your help. So if you're watching right now on YouTube, give us a thumbs up, like, comment, engage, subscribe. On iTunes, rate us. We're also on Spotify. Just, we love engaging with you. We love the show. That's why we do what we do. So the more you talk and get involved, the more we get involved. And we see everything you're saying. I'm on the live chat right now. So yeah, just join the conversation. We love talking with you guys.
Definitely. Please, please do. And like Krista mentioned, if you are listening to us on iTunes podcast, please give us a 5-star rating and tell us why you are enjoying the show and anything you might want to see for the future of the season. Alrighty, let's get into Sutton. Something that I have to say that it's not a pet peeve, and I'm so appreciative that this character does kind of get things to go for her, but every time there's an issue or something comes up, it always goes her way. And I'm like, can I get some of that luck?
You know what I mean? She does have great luck.
This is true.
She's been, I have to completely agree with you, Allie, because I even remember a couple of episodes ago, it's just like Sutton, it always turns out her way in that people are always responsive and like thankful to the job that she did. For example, obviously this episode with the dress. And then I always think back to the last couple episodes where, you know, she unfortunately was the other woman and she addressed the other partner and the partner was grateful. So it is, she's very lucky that things go in a positive way for her.
Mm-hmm. No, I agree. I mean, she gets everything. She got the man, she got the job, she got the clothes. Like, what does she not have?
You know, now that we're discussing it, I actually wonder if it's supposed to be a reflection of her personality, you know, because she's a very strong, independent woman and she says what she feels and she does what she feels. Mm-hmm. And I think now that we're kind of breaking this down, it's making me realize that they're showing that if you are a strong and independent woman, you can get things that you work hard for.
Yeah.
And that's kind of what Sutton's character is exactly. She's a hardworking woman. She never had things handed to her growing up. And
she's driven.
And she's driven. And they're showing that that good, positive energy and hard work can pay off. And it wasn't until this very moment that I'm putting those pieces together. But yeah. I think the writers obviously know what they're doing, and that's why they want to give us that reward, is because if they show that you push boundaries in a good way in the workplace, it could possibly turn out in the positive end for you.
Yeah.
Which leads us to the fact that she totally redesigned this dress. And I didn't even think about it in the designer's eyes until she had to have that conversation.
Same.
And it's wild because it's true. What she had changed wasn't just for the photo shoot. It wasn't just for Scarlett. It's an entirely, like, produced product that you would have to change manufacturing in order for it to come out for customers to use and to buy. But I thought that was kind of a fun fact that they threw in there because, you know, obviously all the time you look in Teen Vogue magazine, it's tagged there where you could buy it, how much it would be. So I thought that was a fun little tidbit they threw in there. Alrighty, so kind of moving on into her wanting to really become a designer and putting that energy out into the world, I've got to say, she has won the lottery in the mentorship program.
Oh, yeah. Definitely.
I love Oliver.
Oliver's the best.
He's, like, the perfect combination of, like, the strict boss, but also he's got love and he knows when to use it. He knows when to be like, okay, I'm your boss. This is what we need to do. But he also, like, speaks the truth and he's never, like, not honest with her, which is perfect. Like, today he was like, you know, anyone else would tell you to go mentor under a fashion designer. But, like, he's right. She's working at a fashion magazine. Like, a magazine where that's such a vital part of its being. So that's great. That's, like, a mentorship in itself.
And I love the fact that he even gave her facts that went along with it were like, oh, Vera Wang worked here for 17 years, and then she became this amazing, like,
which I love that he just threw that out of his back pocket. He knew the exact time that Vera Wang worked there.
You do. Yeah.
which is amazing. So I've got to ask you guys. Oh, sorry. What were you saying?
Oh, yes. No, Allie. I just wanted to say that, like, I love their relationship in general. I feel like it's a very good give and take. Mm-hmm. A very good balance of give and take. Oliver sees that Sutton puts in a lot of work, and Sutton knows that she puts in a lot of work. So I like the fact Sutton doesn't necessarily feel shy when it comes to asking for advice or feel like, you know, asking for something is going to take her back a few steps because it would look bad in his eyes. I really like the mutual respect that they have each other and that they're able to kind of give a little bit and receive a little bit.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's a great point that you bring up, and I really want to hone in on that for our topics that we're going to discuss later in bold topics. And please remind me, because it's more about the being... Sometimes we hold back on things that we want to tell our bosses because we're afraid they're going to see us in a different light in terms of what we actually want for our career and future. But those are the very people that are going to get us to the next level.
Yeah.
So we have to kind of be open a little bit. So I think we should hold on to that topic and discuss it a little bit more later. We talk about mentors and kind of know when to pinpoint when one is one. So we'll hold on to that and put that later. But in the meantime, too, I do want to keep continuing to discuss her really trying to transition and figure out what her next steps would be. How did you feel when Oliver was telling her, like, you know, this could be your job one day? What did you guys see was going on in Sutton's mind during that moment?
Well, in the beginning, I thought she was going to be stoked because for the longest time, we've been thinking that this was her end goal. Like, being at Scarlet and ending at Scarlet was, like, her ultimate goal. But once Oliver said that, she was like, oh, yeah, like, that's what I'm working towards. But then she was like, oh, that's what I'm working towards. And I feel like it wasn't as satisfactory as it should have felt. And I feel like the audience was able to feel that as well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I think it's great that we are focusing on kind of her career and how she's going to progress to get there. Because a lot of the time, we as young professionals trying to figure out where things are going to go, we don't know how to get there. And they're showing her that, like, she's asking the right questions. She's doing the right steps to get there.
Yes.
But, yeah. And something that is really important, too, that we're focusing on her career and her progression there is that what I've noticed is we've kind of, in this episode in particular, strayed back from the Richard and Sutton relationship. We don't need it shoved in our face to know that there's a healthy relationship going on behind closed doors.
We spent a lot of last season for them to get to the happy place. It's like we understand that they're in a happy place, but I just kind of also wanted to go back to Sutton's career. Again, kind of, I like the fact that Sutton had this issue that she had to fix this episode, because I feel like for the longest time she hasn't had the chance to design, and the fact that this issue came up kind of allowed her to fall back into that and kind of re-spark that passion that it had in her of like, oh yes, I do like to design. I kind of forgot about that for a little bit because it never came up.
And also it's been so heavy about her relationship that I think we got a little sidetracked as viewers about, you know, she is a very career-driven girl, and in earlier seasons we got to see that, or even in earlier episodes. So I like that they're kind of bringing it back, and we're like, okay, we know she's content with Richard. They're happy, and, like, now we can see Sutton doing Sutton again.
Totally. Yeah. I think that's great. And Sutton's always, I don't know, she just has such a great head on her shoulders. And something that I found very, very strong of her is the way that she was able to discuss Alex's situation with him. So let's jump into what Alex is going through and how he is, you know, writing this new dating column for Patrick, and he wants to write about this amazing short story that he heard that's from one of his old coworkers, which turns out to be an ex that he dated.
This story was crazy.
Mm-hmm. Oh, no, yeah.
Yeah, I just, the fact that seeing him come to terms that it was him was kind of eye-opening, because he looked like he was like, that's so, it just goes to show the perspectives are so different in any situation that you're in. And he was like, I just always saw everything happening this way, and now I'm questioning everything because I saw it from someone else's point of view.
I love the fact, Krista, that you brought up perspectives, because it's true, and that's something that I will always commend the writers for on the show, is that they do such a great job of giving us all different points of views, all different perspectives, so it's not ever like we're focusing on one, and it's just, it's really smart of them.
I agree.
Yeah, definitely. And I love the way that he went about it, you know? I think he was very mature, and it showed a different side of Alex that we hadn't seen. We know Alex is, like, fun, and the guy that you go to for advice, and this time it was like his turn to be a little bit more serious about a topic, and I think it was really enjoyable for us to see.
definitely, and to see at the end that the payoff for him was the fact that Kristen was able to reach out and say, I'm glad I have an ally in you. And I think that's what he was searching for at the end of the day. And I think the fact that he got that was kind of his, was what he was looking
yeah,
for.
I agree.
I do think that the advice that he got from the girls, and especially Sutton, was very eye-opening for even me as a viewer, because I was listening to what she was saying, and when she did open up that second perspective into looking into this situation, I think that it kind of is a learning lesson for any situation going on. So you always should, like, look at it from both point of views of, like, what could be going on.
And that's obviously a great takeaway.
And obviously the show does talk about bold topics. They talk about things that we're all so scared to talk about, and they open up these windows in order for everybody to kind of discuss and figure it out, and they do it for us, which is always so great. Something that's not so great that really, really frustrates me is the dynamic between Jacqueline and Patrick. Because Patrick, I'm sorry, but
I don't like him. Nope.
Whatever they were building up in the first episode has completely gotten lost to me.
I was going to say, because in the first episode, Jane clearly came out, made it a point that she does not like him. She doesn't understand why he's kind of taking on this new role of a leader. And then we have that moment of, like, oh, he kind of seems like a nice guy. And now, like you're saying, Allie, the dynamic between both Jacqueline and Patrick, it's so weird of, like, always trying to one-up each other. And I don't know what they're going for.
Can't he even one-up her?
No, and I feel like Jacqueline isn't trying to one-up him necessarily, as she's just trying to, like, show him her, establish her dominance, because she has been there longer. And not even that, but she's just like, you know, we're separate entities. I'm online, you know, we've got online, and but it's just, it's almost like he's being immature lately, because I don't even know. You guys are two separate things. Do your own thing. Use each other.
He
just, like, seems so hurt by everything. And every time there's, like, something he can have over her, he wants it. And I don't like this side of him. It's making me angry.
Me neither. Before, I was confused. Now, I'm so not confused at all. I'm totally Team Jacqueline, definitely taking Patrick out of the whole picture. And I don't like the fact that he's stepping over her toes, and he doesn't even know how long she's been working there for. Like, that already tells me enough that he hasn't done the research for the company that he's working for to know enough to respect the person that, like, has been there the longest. And, like, if they were going to choose somebody, they would choose her over him any day, because I would choose her.
I have a question. Feeling a little insecure, I think.
I have a question for you guys. Do you think he's just trying to protect his own skin, in the sense that, like, he was brought on for a very specific reason, and if he doesn't deliver, then he could be out the door? So do you think he's just trying to make it seem like he's better, or he can bring in more than Jacqueline could?
I think he's feeling a little insecure, like I said. I think he's just, he's figuring it out, and I think he came in thinking he'd be the dominant one, and he really underestimated Jacqueline, and now he's like, oh, I've got my work cut out for me. She's good, and I have to deliver.
Yeah, and what's very strange is his approach to being a boss. And something that I wanted to talk to you guys about is, how do you approach a boss like this? Because clearly, he's doing it in a very competitive nature, where he's almost trying to poach employees that work for Scarlett. He's, like, trying to poach them and pull them away from the magazine to solely have them for the dot com. And I just find this really, it's a malicious way to work, because instead of wanting to collaborate with Jacqueline, he's wanting to poach her people, to kind of silo them, to make them just work for the .com, and by eavesdropping, because he's been eavesdropping on all the different conversations happening, and that's why he's always in the bullpen. He's always there trying to figure out what's next, so then he can just kind of silo it and be able to bring himself up. And I think that's my biggest pet peeve about him, is because I want him to work together. I want him to bring everybody together, and he would be that, like, mending piece in the middle, because clearly you've got the board probably positioning this guy to run the .com, to kind of take over, because digital's the future, or whatever they're probably telling that person. But then you have Jacqueline, who's been running this for forever, has more knowledge than anybody could really put in. So he could be that mending piece to putting those puzzle pieces to fit as one unit. And that's so aggravating.
It is.
Because he's siloing everybody and trying to make it a competition. And that's just not going to work.
This may not be an entertaining aspect from a viewer's point of view, but I'm very curious on, like, you know, they're leaders of two different entities at the magazine, but I'm like, doesn't he have his own team, and is he not technically allowed to, as you're saying, Ali, poach other people, or can they say, oh, no, sorry, you know, I strictly worked for the magazine, or I only write for the .com. Like, that's just something I'm curious mm-hmm. about, yeah. but I don't know if, like, other viewers would be like, yeah, I want to know that.
I yeah. kind of question that, too, but I think he said it that, like, she was like, because when he told, in the first episode, he asked Jane what she wanted to write about, and she said, oh, I only work for like the magazine part, like the editorial part. And he was like, oh no, like he said that whatever piece she was writing would be better for the .com. So I think it would depends on whether on like the topic of the pieces and where they would, I guess, perform better.
Yeah, you also but think you could cross articles. Could,
yeah.
So I don't know.
I think it's just an interesting way of how they're going to go about this, because let's not forget, at the end of season 2, the board want to get rid of Jacqueline, and that's because that mean lady, whatever, I forget her name, yeah. the mean lady wanted to get rid of her because she was posting things and doing things that she didn't like. So I think this might still be their MO, and this is a way to, I think they're trying to push Jacqueline out, because if you're thinking of it from a business standpoint, and like in real life, I think we've talked about this before, is that it's easier to push her out rather than mm-hmm. to fire her or to give her severance or something. And so I think that Patrick is like, that little push,
claw.
You know, yeah,
he's
that
clawing
claw.
His way in. I
but
don't
she
like it.
She said in this episode that she really likes it there right now.
Well, yeah,
yeah,
but she has
she's
no
gonna be hard
over.
To yeah, yeah. But if they keep doing stuff like this, and Patrick just keeps weaseling his way around and taking all her stories and writers, yeah, it's gonna be an interesting storyline to play out.
It's
yeah.
so, and I find it so aggravating. It's like, we love Jacqueline. Mm-hmm. I love the advice that she gives. I feel like she has so much insight to offer.
She is Scarlet. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, basically. Without all I know is that they can't get rid of Jacqueline because Jacqueline makes the show. So,
yeah.
So, bye,
so never get rid of her. See you later, Patrick.
See you later, Patrick.
Patrick who?
Yeah. We're already over it. So Kat is moving on to new things and new endeavors. Question. Obviously, she's volunteering. She seems to really hone into this political stuff, and she's really naturally good at it. Do you think that she's going to run for city council?
I think she should. I mean, yeah, I remember when she was up there talking to her speech, which we've seen this a couple times now. She's really good at it, and I don't even think she realizes it. But even to get up there, that takes, like, a lot of confidence and some chops in the public speaking department, and she's got it. And mm-hmm. obviously, in this case, they need someone that speaks to the younger generation and those that aren't voting but can. And I think she'd be a great person to get them out and do that for.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
I think Kat has everything that would make her an ideal candidate. She has, you know, the young vote. She has the reach because of Scarlet. You know, she has like a personal background that, you know, she wants to fight for things. And so ideally she would make the ideal candidate, but it's so tough because, you know, as we saw with Sun this episode, she kind of got a respark in something that she's passionate about. And we've never really dived in with Kat, her career.
Yeah.
She always seemed to really enjoy being the head of social media.
Yeah.
So.
For me, it's kind of like what we were talking about for Sutton, where she had this goal of, like, working at Scarlet. But then she's like, well, actually, I'm a really good designer. And I think it might be the same thing for Kat. I think that being the head of social media is awesome, and it is a great job, and a lot of people would die to have that job. But once you've been doing something for a while, you always want to, like, improve, and you always want to have another goal to, like, go towards. So I think that I think that she should run. I mean, this is more of, like, a prediction. I think she will run, and only because she should be doing, like, more things than just being, like, the social media.
She could technically still do both.
Yeah,
too,
yeah,
so.
Exactly.
There are no limits.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think it'll be really fun to see kind of where she goes with this. And I think this is kind of what she's been leading towards, is all the change and everything that she's been going through. But it's going to be really fun to kind of see how that pans out for her. Alrighty, guys. We are going to get into one of our favorite segments that we do every week, which is our bold topics. Woo. These are the topics that they kind of overlay throughout the episode, and we kind of pinpoint a couple and we discuss them with you. So, Carla and Krista, do you want to jump off with the first one?
Yeah. Yes. Okay. We'll start with the first one, which is between goal and passion. So basically, Sutton has this goal of like working at Scarlett, but she also has this passion of designing. So my question to you guys is, would you go after your main goal, the one that you're already there and you can grow and it's like reachable, or would you go after your passion, which is something that you would completely have to start over?
That one's hard, but I think it's one that we all struggle with because obviously we got to pay our bills, mm-hmm. you know, and the 9 to 5, which is whatever you're doing to make that money, is like so hard to leave, especially if it's taking over time that you should be focusing on your passion. So it's just like finding that balance.
Yeah.
Or if you're lucky enough to find a 9 to 5 that is your passion or that mm-hmm. correlates to it. But yeah, you should go after both if you can to make it work, so you like don't lose sight of, you know, paying stuff off. But
I think in Sutton's case, it's kind of difficult because her goal and her passion have similarities. Like her goal, you know, with being at Scarlett and working at Scarlett and basically, you know, Oliver saying, oh, you might have this job one day. Like, that's not a bad thing. Mm-hmm. And her passion is very similar. It'd be different if it was like, you know, I'm working in retail, but my passion is to, you know, be like a pro surfer. That's very different. Mm-hmm. But, you know, it's like there's not much similarities there. So it's, you kind of feel like, yes, I would want to more so achieve and go towards my passion. In Sun's case, it's difficult, like I said, because she can kind of have the best of both worlds because her goal can help her achieve her passion.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Totally. I think that, you know, having to choose between our goals and our passions is something that we all struggle with because the societal norm is to, all right, find something that's going to get you a job, like graduate college, get a job, have a salary, get a 401k, be stable. You know what I mean? But I think something that's really great that we've kind of been able to open our eyes to is that you don't need to choose.
Yeah.
And you can change your career path if you want to. You can find something along the way that might, you know, deter you to a different area or of expertise that you never even knew was possible. And I think that's what's so important about this show too, is it's kind of giving you a glimpse of that with Sutton, but then showing you with Kat that you can do both. You can do politics and you can do fashion. You don't have to choose one lane. You can kind of do it all if you have the bandwidth to do it yourself. Mm-hmm. So I just think that, you know, with your goals and your passions, sometimes they can be one and the same, or if they're entirely different, there are ways for you to make that possible. It's just about making the time and carving out that energy and figuring out how you're going to make that possible to work.
Yeah. One of the things I absolutely loved about this particular topic was exactly what Oliver said to Sun, which was, you know, Vera Wang worked X amount of years at Vogue before they went on to working in fashion. And I think that's so important because I think sometimes people get consumed in the idea of like, I need to be, you know, this by the time I'm mm-hmm. 27, you know, otherwise it's too late for me. And I think it's a good way of showing of like, hey, age is but a number. You can start over if you need to. And, you know, people are where they are now, but it took them years to get there. And I think that's very important to see that we sometimes miss because we're so consumed. We're trying to get places quickly.
Yeah, mm-hmm. It's so true. Everyone's on a different timeline, and I think it's just important to remember that.
Yeah, and we're all guilty of it. Mm-hmm. I know all of us are so worried about our age and where we're going to be next, and kind of everybody wants to be the youngest of something. Mm-hmm. But knowledge is built over years and over experience, and so it is really important to be able to figure out what that, like, you know, to be able to have that knowledge in the path of be able to be where you want to go.
Yeah. And I want to jump off of what you were saying about that age doesn't really matter. And it's true. There's this quote that says that you're never too old to dream a new dream or to set a new goal. And, like, you know, you could be 30 or 40 or 50 or even 60 and you're like, oh, you know what? I want to start doing this. And if you have the drive to do it and if you have the passion to do it, you can literally do absolutely anything that you set your mind to. Like, this goes to anybody and everybody. So I think that you don't necessarily, I agree with you guys. I don't think that you have to choose, but if you can be in something that hopefully leads you to be to the next step of what you want to do, mm-hmm. then that's great. But I think it's healthy to always have like different goals that you're setting for yourself, because that way you keep yourself driven towards something. And like you need to be grateful for where you're at right now, for where you're going. And then like remember that once you get there, like enjoy that time, but also keep moving forward. Like don't just stay stagnant.
Definitely.
Because I think that's when you're like, you start struggling with like, oh, like I don't know if I'm doing what I'm I'm supposed to be doing.
Definitely. I think there was something I read one time where it was talking about how we're also, we get so worried if, you know, our passion or, like, our dreams had changed.
Yeah.
Because we're like, oh, I had this dream my whole life. And then you get worried in your head because that dream has now changed into something different. But that doesn't mean you failed. It just means that along your way and along your journey, you found something else that you're more passionate about that you should pursue. Mm-hmm. You don't need to stay in one lane.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You can branch off into all the many branches that you want to. Love these bold topics.
I know. We get so passionate about them.
Alrighty, let's move on to the next one.
The next one is, would you want to know if your partner is watching adult content?
Would you?
I personally really like this question because I think it's so normal. I think, you know, adult watching adult content in a relationship or even as an adult is completely normal. I don't know at what point it ever became like, oh, this is very wrong to be watching pornographic content. But I like the fact that it's bringing it up of like, it's normal. You know, if you're in a relationship for a period of time, sometimes you want to like switch things up. And I think it's just more... It could be more fun to kind of get an idea of what your partner is into. So that way, you know, you can have those discussions as opposed to kind of feeling like guilty that I don't want to put this in the wrong way, but feeling guilty that like you are kind of sticking to one thing in the relationship instead of branching out.
Yeah.
No, I feel you. I like that they definitely tried to normalize the topic, which it is. I feel like this topic has always been one of those that either people don't want to talk about or they will openly. But I just think, again, it's, like, very variable and dependent on the relationship. But I think if you're comfortable with each other, that's something you should be able to talk about. If you, you know, I think it's an open book. You should be able to discuss what you're doing and what the other's doing if you want to. And, no one should, like, judge you for that.
Wow. I think that Jane approached the situation as mature and as anybody in a relationship could. I mean, she did it in a great manner.
Yeah.
I don't know. I can't even put words, but I think she approached the situation the best that she possibly could in order to have an open mind to whatever her partner was into.
Yeah. I think it depends on the relationship, who you're with, like what your partner is into. But if you are in a healthy relationship, you guys will talk about everything. And I don't think like your partner should hide anything from you, and neither should you. Next topic was about mentorships. And the question is, like, how do you know when you have a mentor or when you should ask for somebody to be your mentor?
Right. And what was I, guys, I told you to remind me. What was I saying about mentors?
Healthy balance of give and take? Yes? No?
I don't know what... I didn't want to forget. You guys go on. I'll remember it.
I think when there's someone like Oliver in your life that you just know, the fact that she felt so confident to come up to him and express that right after he was like, you know, I'm grooming you for my job. And she was like, that'd be great. But also, I have this passion.
Yeah.
So I think that right there, if you have someone that you can trust with something like that and you're not afraid to, you know, tell them something like that, then you know right there that's, like, a great mentor. Because you can be honest and you can tell them all those things and they're going to be honest back and help you in any way they can.
I think I remembered it.
Yay.
Okay. It was more so not being scared to really pick your boss's brains or your mentors or whoever it is about their knowledge of what they know. I mean, I think I'm even guilty of this, and I'm sure we all are, that sometimes you want to position yourself, obviously, in a very professional fashion, but then also you have so many questions because you're growing and you want to know about their journey and their path. And so I think Sutton went about it in such a great way of, you know, kind of putting it out on the table of what she wanted. Obviously, they've already built the rapport. You don't want to do that, like, after meeting someone for the first day, but they've built the rapport. They've built the relationship where she felt comfortable enough to be able to approach something that she's really passionate about, and I think that's really important. Like, we shouldn't be scared to ask about something that's tangible. This is clearly a tangible line for her, as long as she obviously has the talent, but she has all the resources there to make it a possibility. And like Oliver was saying, he knows that she's not going to leave overnight to become a fashion designer. That's not how it works. And he is going to be able to help cultivate those relationships, help her grow, help her, you know, get her feet on the ground. And that he's kind of doing that now with her being able to attend these meetings and make the relationship with other designers. And I think he's doing a phenomenal job of giving her the opportunity and giving her the chance to mess up. You know? Mm-hmm. He's given her so many times where she could have just freaked out and been like, I can't do this. But she's taken every single challenge and obstacle. And when there's been a wall that she's hit, she's been able to talk to him about it. Doesn't matter if he's going to be happy or sad or mad or whatever. Like, they've been able to discuss this. And obviously, not everybody's blessed with a mentor like that. But I think the show is showing you, like it always does, is that when you do have somebody like this in your life, you should utilize them and utilize the relationship to help each mm-hmm. other.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. I just kind of wanted to say that I think Sutton approached it in a very strong way, as opposed to saying, like, oh, Oliver, I want to go into fashion. Can you please, connect me or something? You know, kind of being more direct of, like, making it seem like she's leaving. She went about it in a way of, like, can you please advise me on what I right. should do mm-hmm. next? And so I feel like timing is everything, because you never want, you know, you always want to leave a good impression with your employer or with your mentor, and you never want them to feel like you're just going to up and leave them, which Sutton obviously wouldn't. She would need more experience. But I think she went about it in the right way of saying, like, hey, I need your help. This is something I might want to pursue. How do I go about it? And then because, you know, she puts in a lot of hard work and Oliver sees that, he is able to assist her. And I feel like that's another thing. Hard work goes a long way. If you're able to do the work and do it well, then, you know, you'll have a mentor that will want to help you out in return.
Yeah.
Yeah. 100%.
I think a mentorship partner, like a mentor partnership, kind of works both ways. It's like a give and take. And for me, I have several mentors and they're all in different fields. Some of them are not even in the same fields that towards like what I'm heading. But I think it's very important to have somebody like Oliver who is truthful to you. And they tell you, like, hey, you know what? It's going to take time, but I can make a phone call and help you get started. And, like, that's huge, you know, the fact that Oliver even mm-hmm. offered to be like, hey, you know what, like, yeah, you don't have to take over my job. And he wasn't, like, upset at the fact that she wasn't going to follow his footsteps or anything. Mm-hmm. So it's important to know that your mentor actually understands what your end goal is. And I think that their relationship is, like, super healthy. So it's good.
I'm going to speak to this a bit just because it's interesting hearing you guys talk about mentorship programs and, like, what a mentor should be to somebody. And I think a lot of people in this day and age, they undervalue the kind of mentorships that they have in front of them mm-hmm. while expecting something in return and not paying attention to what they're actually already getting in return.
Yeah.
You don't have to get an active, like, recommendation or be introduced to different people or have something given to you for a mentorship to be worthwhile. The fact that you're in the presence of people who are more successful than you, you can look at the things that they're doing and the ways they're interacting with people, and you can learn from that on its own. Mm-hmm. Obviously, it's great when they give you a recommendation, or obviously it's great when you get to be in a meeting where there's all these big and successful people, but a lot of people really, really, really undervalue just the fact of getting to observe, because there's millions of people in this world that don't even get that.
Yeah, that's totally. So true.
It's true. It's a really great
Thank
point.
Thank you for that.
Yeah.
No, that's a great point, Stephen. And I think a lot of us can take that away with our day-to-day, because you learn by example. Mm-hmm. And mm-hmm. you can learn when it's just like if you had an older sibling and you saw them get in trouble, you knew you did not want to make that same mistake.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And that's kind of what your point is, too, is if you were in a room with those, like, listen and put your phone down. Like, yeah, why observe. Are you on your phone if you're in a meeting with higher up people? Not necessary. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Stephen, we appreciate your advice.
Yes.
Thank you.
You are awesome.
You're partly our mentor.
Well, luckily I have great mentors in Kevin and Maria.
Yes. As we all do. And I mean, we can't thank them enough, because we've been able to learn by example from all of the opportunities they've provided us.
We're doing
us.
It right now.
Yeah. Legitimately. So thank you, Kevin and Maria, for everything, as always, because you're amazing.
Thank you.
Alrighty, guys, we need to get into our news and gossip.
AfterBuzz.
You guys.
Carla, take it away.
I got some juicy news.
Woo!
Today for you. So first of all, I wanted to start out, I've talked about basically every single cast member besides a few. So I wanted to talk about two of the very strong ladies from the show, which is going to be Melora and Nicole. So first of all, we're going to start with Melora. Melora, she's like our girl Megan Fahey. She went to Beijing, China for Easter I mean, what beautiful place to receive Easter at than Beijing, China. And I was doing, like, some background work trying to see if, like, oh, is she out there for work? Should we be looking forward to something new? Was she there just traveling with her daughters? Or was she there getting some inspiration for some music? Mm. Yes, I said music, you guys. During my research, I found out that Melora is a singer. She sang her first song when she was 2 years old. She actually wrote it and she sang it. So her mom said, I found this out on her website. She has starred in many Broadway shows. And thinking about this, this made me think that we should get an episode of maybe all four of the girls going to watch a Broadway show, and then somehow they give us some sort of, like, Broadway performance, because we know that the other three girls can sing, and now Jacqueline can sing, so why wouldn't we have an episode where they all sing?
I love that idea. I am a sucker for a musical episode.
Same. That would be great.
So I would be all about
it. Yes, I mean, the girls did state in an interview earlier during the season that that's their favorite episode where they got to sing. And there is a clip of that. She actually sings the cover for The Greatest Showman. She sings Never Enough. And her voice, I literally watched this video like 3 times because, like, I wasn't really sure what part to, like, cut it and to bring it into you guys. But
I am already overcome with, like,
she's
emotion.
She's not bad at all.
Because
she's so good. Yeah.
This song itself will get you, and she's doing such a great job. Oh my gosh, I'm so happy right now.
You guys. And if you want to get some more songs from her, she actually has 3 CDs.
What?
Well, yeah, Wait, she what? Has 3 CDs released out. One of them is called All the Way to Mars. P-U-R-R, and then the Melodrama, which I think is probably my favorites. I've kind of listened to a couple of their songs.
Titles. And
I was like, I know, exactly.
Or
I was like,
Pure.
Oh,
like, you know,
or
Pure.
Or it could be Pure too.
Either way, I'm intrigued.
Yeah. Well, what's more pure, what's melodramatic than Jacqueline and Joanna Coles actually hanging out together? You guys, I found this picture on Melora's Instagram of them. I think this was taken during October, so I believe this was Paris Fashion Week or one of New York, or perhaps New York Fashion Week. And I thought that this was so incredible. She speaks wonders about Joanna. And Melora did state in an interview with Teen Vogue that fans of the show often come up to her and express their desires for mentors in their own lives, which I thought was really interesting because that was a very heavy topic for us today. And she hopes that the bold type can be a form of that for young people just getting their foot into their careers, which is great because honestly, the show is very emotionally, like, invested in the people who are going after their goals. And I think that it's great that we're learning not only from the girls themselves, but also from the lady herself, Joanna Coles, and Melora, who plays her.
I love it.
Yeah, right? I was, like, livid when I was watching all this. It was really hard to decide what to talk about her. Okay, moving on to our next topic. Nicole Boschieri, Miss Adina.
Where are you?
You guys are probably wondering the exact same thing that I am. Is Kadena going to happen again? I have not a spoiler alert. It's not a spoiler alert because it was basically in another interview with Just Jared Jr. They said, Nicole stated that Adina will be part of season 3. Ooh. So she's completely not out of the books. We will be seeing her again. And Aisha said that season 2 was the middle of their story. What does that actually mean for us? I have no idea, but I guess we'll just have to tune in every Tuesday to find out.
Yeah.
But something else that we get tuned into, you guys, Nicole is going to be the star of a new LGBTQ drama written and directed by Sam Abbas. It's going to be called Aliyah's Birth, and she is going to lead along with Porna Jahanathan, which I think looks really interesting. I was reading the logline. It says that it's going to be about a rocky relationship between a female couple that forces them to spend the night apart. And it is set to begin shooting in New York this summer, which means that if season 4 for The Bold Type gets picked up, she will already be down there, like super close to Vancouver, where she could go film the rest of The Bold Type. So
just make it happen.
So here we go. Hashtag renew season 4 for The Bold Type. So yeah, that's my news and gossip for this week.
Carla, thank you so much. It's always so informative, always so fun. I love hearing these new fun tidbits about our favorite characters in The Bold Type. It is obviously one of our favorite shows, and we're very invested in everybody. So I appreciate you for bringing this in for us today. Alrighty, guys, let's get into some predictions.
And now, your AfterBuzz TV predictions.
Veronica, we're going to start with you.
Oh, my gosh. Okay, so I do think that Kat will play with the idea of running for council, and maybe she'll actually do it. I would love to see her finding the balance between the two, and I would hope that she can make it work. Obviously, she probably will. She's Kat. Honestly, guys, I don't know how you are, but I'm really satisfied with Jane and Pinstripe, and yeah. I love the fact that she finally kind of opened up to him about all of her health issues. I think it's very important in their relationship, and so I'm just very excited to see more about that. I hope we never go into like a rocky place, or at least not anytime soon, because I'm really enjoying this like beginning stage of their relationship. And as far as Sutton goes, again, you know, kind of like Kat, I'm very intrigued to see what steps she'll take next towards design if she feels like this is her passion and she really wants to pursue. So I'm very excited to see what creations she'll make that are not designer dresses.
Yeah, I think that, like, balling off of that, something was going to go wrong with Sutton next week, which we kind of saw in the previews, but we know she has to make that dress. It's part of the application. So, yeah, I don't know. I don't know what's going to happen, but I think it's going to be a little bit harder than she thought. Maybe it's, like, taking on that kind of a task while working her 9-to-5 job. Maybe she's going to find it more difficult than she had originally intended. Like, are Jane and Pinstripe going to move in together? What are we doing? Because she hasn't been looking for roommates, and he's been there every night, so I'm thinking maybe that's going to happen.
A move-in?
We discussed it a little bit last week, but I'm like, she hasn't been, like, actively searching, and someone's going to need to pay rent soon, so.
I like your prediction.
I don't know. You mentioned it last week, and I feel like that's where they're moving. I don't know. It's like, is he already moving in? Like,
all the talks about all this is just, I know I should keep this far off the brain, but I just feel like these relationships are so great and strong. I just see them getting married. I'm like, are we going to show where we get, like, married people? And then I think that'd be awesome. But then also, I'm like, but then it cuts your story off a little bit. Mm-hmm. Because if you want to drag it out to multiple seasons, you know, there's got to be some sort of drama. And you can't just have it and get married and whatever.
Yeah.
So, guys, sorry, I just jumped in.
That was my predictions. We're moving fast with them.
I like seeing happy couples, though.
I do. Me too.
It's almost too happy, though, so I'm worried.
But that's the thing, is that these couples are so great. We talked about this last week, that it worries us because we love them, and I just can't imagine Jane with anybody else.
No, me either. Yeah.
Even Ben now. I'm like, no, that just didn't work. Yeah.
Bye, Ben.
Like, who, Ben? Ben who?
Remember we were in love with Dr. Ben.
Yeah, we were like, Dr. Ben, team Dr. Ben. And
he was, like, yes. Who was His Dr. name ben? Was very satisfying.
Yeah.
Dr. Ben.
Okay. I don't really like my prediction, but this is something that I thought about. I think that right now, Adina, well, I'm actually thinking about Kat, but I think that right now Kat is trying to do absolutely everything that she can to get Adina out of her head, which is maybe she will run for city council, but I have a feeling that maybe Adina will show up during the process, and that is probably going to mess up her running for something because it might cause problems, she might get distracted. So I think that we will see Adina sooner rather than later. And as far as, I actually think that for right now, Jane and Pinstripe are going to be okay. I think the ones that are going to be seeing a little rocky road is probably going to be Richard and Sutton, which I hate to say
your favorite!
Because they are my favorite. Actually, I don't have favorites. I love them all equally. But I just think that right now, it's going to be a lot for Sutton because Sutton just moved out and then now she's trying to figure out a new career and it's kind of like, as if you, let's just say you just moved to a new place and then you're going after your passion, but now it's like she's completely starting over and then she's with her partner, but they're not actually married, like they're kind of together. So I think that there's going to be problems within their relationship only because this is very new for her.
Interesting.
But like always, they'll be able to work them out.
We shall see.
Yes.
Alrighty, guys. It is another Tuesday. Came and gone, and I had so much fun talking to you lovely ladies about the bold type. But in the meantime, where can they find you on social media, Veronica?
Yeah, you can find me, Veronica Valencia, on Twitter and Instagram at @itsmeveronica_V. And again, I just want to say thank you so much, ladies, for allowing me to be on the show today.
Anytime.
Before I sign out, we have a couple people in the chat that just showed up. So I want to say hey to Soon Smith, who said it's her birthday tomorrow, so happy we all want to wish you a happy birthday! And also the Mac727, thanks for joining in at the end there, guys. And you guys can find me everywhere, all over social media, at Krista Flengy.
And you guys can follow me on Instagram at I am Carla Beltran.
And hey guys, Allie Nasty here. Follow me on Instagram at AllieGirl. And of course, follow AfterBuzz TV on all social media platforms. We'll see you next week. Bye guys.
Bye. Bye.
Our founder, Kevin Undergaro, and me, Maria Menounos, would like to thank you for tuning in to AfterBuzz TV. Remember, we're not just the first, we're the biggest in the world, and we're the only destination for all your favorite TV shows. Whatever you crave, we've got it. So go to AfterBuzzTV.com and check out our lineup. Buzz you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.